Good morning. This is our Grace Life Adult Sunday School class. We welcome you all to our first lesson online. And so why don't we open with a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, teach us from your word today. Open our hearts and minds that we would have a deeper and greater trust in you because of the teaching and looking at your word today. We thank you. Amen. These lessons were started 10 months ago, by God's sovereignty, they are greatly needed today. And our lesson today is on the fear of the Lord. I've noticed in conversations, as I've talked with people in the church, unbeknownst to them, they have brought up many of their fears. As I've heard that, I've realized it's important to talk about fear and what we do with it. Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all those who do his commandments, and his praise endures forever. Psalm 111, verse 2, great are the works of the Lord, and they are studied by all who delight in them. So this month, we are going to study, we'll look at the fear of God, our fears, fear of man, and peace. We'll work on our understanding of fear of the Lord and our fears. When was the last time you heard someone say about someone that he was a God-fearing man? I remember the last time I heard that was when I was very young. It's just not heard that much anymore. Psalm 66:16, come and hear all who fear God, and I will tell of what he has done for my soul. Psalm 33, verses 8 and 9, let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spoke and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Psalm 33:18, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness. 1 Corinthians 6:16 through 7:1, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. And one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 34, verses 3 and 4. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 7 of Psalm 34. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. Verse 9, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him, there is no want. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Verse 11, I challenge you this month, as you read your Bibles and in your daily reading, observe fear and fear of the Lord. Who fears and where that fear is directed. Let's take a look at Isaiah 6, 1 through 5, and look at this example of fear of the Lord. Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 5. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. And seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips and live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." That, my friends, is a true picture of the fear of the Lord, a reverential awe of God Almighty. We live in a world with many fears. Satan would have us to dwell on those fears and have them captivate us instead of turning these fears over to God and laying them at his feet. Let's look at just a few of those kind of fears. Fear of the unknown. Fear of not knowing enough. Remember, in our society, knowledge is power. Fear of what they know about you. Some of us have seen Charlie Brown's Christmas, where Lucy has a counseling booth to make money off their fears and phobias. Fear of responsibility. Fear of cats. Fear of staircases. Fear of the ocean. Fear of everything. When we had family camp, John Williams would read Patrick McManus stories around the campfire. The fear of darkness. The fear of snakes in Never Cry Snake. I recently read a book about Jim Corbett in India in 1907, where a 50 square mile area was gripped in terror of a man-eating leopard for 15 years. It affected their whole way of life. It was known to have killed 400 people. As Christians, fears can immobilize us. They can stunt our spiritual growth. They can move us in the wrong direction, an unhealthy fear, and they can keep us from being friends and making friends. In our lessons, we'll look at scripture to strengthen us in our fear of God. Having a greater fear of God, a reverential awe of God, is recognizing God as bigger in our life, developing a high view of God. And through God's sovereignty, we saw that in the song that started out our lesson, a high view of God. That is an amazing picture. So having a greater fear and reverential awe of God, when we recognize, when we have fears, we are not recognizing God as big enough in our lives. We need to remember what I call our Christian basics. Pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Be quick to confess sin. Psalm 32:5. I acknowledge my sin to you. 3. Study God's word. Psalm 119:14-15. And Psalm 1 verses 2 and 3. We need to develop a thankful heart, Psalm 9, 1 and 2. And another thing we need to do regularly is have a song in our heart, Psalm 40, verse 3. Do you have a song embedded in your soul for the week? It's very important to encourage your heart and soul throughout the week. Here's some verses of a song that I think of often. Though storms may come, I am holding on. To the rock I cling. How can I keep from singing your praise? I know I am loved by the King. And it makes my heart want to sing. And another song, my heart is filled with thankfulness to him who walks beside, who floods my weaknesses with strength and causes fears to fly. We need to have a song embedded in our hearts. These are things that help us recognize God as bigger in our lives. Remember, we're talking when bigger is with a big B, not a little b. Have a high view of God. Having a proper fear of God will what I call hush your soul and calm your fears. One morning, Patty and I were outside having breakfast in our picnic gazebo, enjoying a beautiful sunrise, and I started reading our psalm for the day and saw a period moving across the page in my Bible and saw it was a bug half the size of a period at the end of a sentence. It just made me think how big our God is, even in the small things. Let's look at the awesome God we serve in Isaiah 40, verses 21 through 31. Isaiah 40, verses 21 through 31. Do you not know, and have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. It is He who reduces them to rulers to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they been planted, scarcely have they been sown, scarcely has their stalk taken root in the earth, but He merely blows on them and they wither, and the storm carries them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me, that I would be His equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the One who leads forth their hosts by number, and He calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of His might and the strength of His power, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know, and have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired, and His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, He increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. We serve an awesome and mighty God. We need that high view of God Almighty. This week, for our time to ponder today, let's contrast two stories in God's Word. And as we read these two stories, compare their fear of God in the stories. How did their fear of God, or lack of it, make them act? How was their worship? And be prepared to share your answers with your families at home and discuss it. We're going to look, our first story is in Joshua 5, verses 13 through 15. Joshua 5, verses 13 through 15. Joshua 5. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, rather I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, "What has my Lord to say to his servant?" And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, "Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. So we see Joshua had a proper fear of the Lord, and his fear of the Lord moved him in a forward direction. Remember, he was one of the 12 sent to spy out the land. He went forward, shows courage and trust in the Lord. The man had a sword drawn. How many would move forward to a man with a drawn sword? His fear of God drove him to lead. It drove him to trust in God. And notice, his fear of the Lord makes him to react quickly. He reacts quickly in obedience and humility, and he bows down. Now let's look at number 16 and see their fear of God in the story, and how did their fear of God, or lack of it, make them act. So let's look to number 16. And it's about Korah's rebellion. And we're going to read the whole chapter. So as I read, ponder on those questions. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, and the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took action. And they rose up before Moses, together with some of the sons of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, chosen in the assembly, men of renown. And they assembled together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You have gone far enough, for all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is in their midst. So why do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" Then Moses heard this, he fell on his face, and he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, "Tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will bring him near to himself. Even the one whom he will choose, he will bring near to himself. Do this, take censers for yourselves, Korah and all your company, and put fire in them and lay incense upon them in the presence of the Lord tomorrow, and the man whom the Lord chooses shall be the one who is holy. And you have gone far enough, you sons of Levi." Then Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi, it is enough for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do service of the tabernacle of the Lord and stand before the congregation to minister to them, and that he has brought you near, Korah and all your brothers, sons of Levi, with you. And are you seeking for the priesthood also? Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. But as for Aaron, who is he that you would grumble against him?" Then Moses sent a summons to Dathan, Abiram, the sons of Eliab, but they said, "We will not come up. Is it not enough that you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to have us die in the wilderness, but you would also lord it over us? Indeed, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor have you given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Would you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up." Then Moses became very angry and said to the Lord, "Do not regard their offering. I have not taken a single donkey from them, nor have I done harm to any of them." And Moses said to Korah, "You and all your company be present before the Lord tomorrow, both you and they along with Aaron. Each of you take his fire pan and put incense on it, and each of you bring his censer before the Lord, 250 fire pans. Also you and Aaron shall each bring his fire pan." So each took his own censer and put fire on it and laid incense on it, and they stood in the doorway of the tent of meeting with Moses and Aaron. Thus Korah assembled all the congregation against them at the doorway of the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them instantly." But they fell on their faces and said, O God, God of spirits of all flesh, when one man sins, will you be angry with the entire congregation? Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the congregation, saying, get back from around the dwellings of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Then Moses arose and went to Dathan and Abiram with the elders of Israel following him. And he spoke to the congregation, depart now from the tents of these wicked men and touch nothing that belongs to them, or you will be swept away in all their sin. So they got back from around the dwellings of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and came out and stood at the doorway of their tents, along with their wives and their sons and their little ones. And Moses said, by this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these deeds, for this is not my doing. If these men die the death of all men, or if they suffer the fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord brings about an entirely new thing, and the ground opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that is theirs, and they descend alive into Sheol, then you will understand that these men have spurned the Lord. And as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground that was under them split open, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, and their households, and all the men who belonged to Korah and their possessions. So they all that belonged to them went down alive to Sheol, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. All Israel who were around them fled at their outcry, for they said, the earth may swallow us up. Fire also came forth from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were who were offering incense. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, say to Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he shall take up the censers out of the midst of the blaze, for they are holy. And you scatter the burning coals abroad. As for the censers of these men who have sinned at the cost of their lives, let them be made into hammered sheets for the plating of the altar, since they did present them before the Lord and are holy, and they shall be for a sign to the sons of Israel. So Eleazar the priest took the bronze censers which the men who were burned had offered, and they hammered them out as a plating for the altar, as a reminder to the sons of Israel that no layman who is not of the descendants of Aaron should come near to burn incense before the Lord, so that he will not become like Korah and his company, just as the Lord had spoken to him through Moses. But on the next day, all the congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, saying, you are the ones who have caused the death of the Lord's people. And it came about, however, when the congregation had assembled against Moses and Aaron, that they turned toward the tent of meeting, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron came to the front of the tent of meeting, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, get away from among the congregation, that I may consume them instantly. Then they fell on their faces. And Moses said to Aaron, take your censer and put in it fire from the altar and lay incense on it, and then bring it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them, for the wrath has gone forth from the Lord, and the plague has begun. Then Aaron took it as Moses had spoken, and ran into the midst of the assembly. For behold, the plague had begun among the people. So he put on the incense, and made atonement for the people. And he took his stand between the dead and the living, so that the plague was checked. But those who died by the plague were 14,700, besides those who had died on account of Korah. Then Aaron returned to Moses at the doorway of the tent of meeting, for the plague had been checked. So we see in this story the fear of the Lord on display in many ways. We don't see much fear of the Lord in Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. We see a display of pride, much like Satan and his fallen angels. Notice verse 19, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. This was a very visible thing. And if the Lord brings about an entirely new thing, the ground opens up and swallows them alive. That is just so amazing. And then we see in verse 34, their reaction. Was it fear of God or just fear that drove them to run? Verse 41 is a key verse to this story, a very key verse. They have seen the glory of the Lord, the earth open up, swallow people, fire come down, and consume 250 men. And the very next day, they all grumble after what they saw. Do we ever check our grumbling, and who is our grumbling ultimately against? Without a proper fear of God, we can become grumblers quickly. And without a proper fear of the Lord, we won't understand our salvation. We won't understand God's grace, His mercy, being a bond slave. We won't understand theology or our ministry, to name a few. We must have a high view of God. Psalm 42:11 says, "Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why have you become disturbed within me?" We see the cure: hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. When we have fears, do we block God out of that area of our life? Do you quit having a high view of God in your area of fear? Do we make our fear an idol because we think God is not big enough in that area? Do you get excited to see what God is going to do in a certain area of your life? Do you do this with your fears? Do you turn it over to God? We should all be reading Psalm 139 regularly. In it, it shows how intimately God knows you. Do you think that He knows not your fears? In hymn number 353, verse 2 in our hymn book, when faced with trials on every side, we know the outcome is secure. Do you really believe it? We have victory through Christ, and that victory is certain. Why do we not have victory over our fears? Do we keep picking those fears up after laying them at the feet of Jesus? Let's look at Psalm 46, 1 through 7. Psalm 46, 1 through 7. Psalm 46, 1 through 7. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. And though the earth should change, and though the mountains should slip into the sea, and though its waters roar and foam, and though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar, and the kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Did you notice God is our refuge? I looked up the dictionary definition of refuge. And it says in there, one, a protection or shelter from danger or hardship. Two, a place providing haven or sanctuary. And three, anything to which one may turn for help and relief. Verse 2 says, therefore we will not fear. The God of Jacob is our stronghold in verse 7. Have you let your anxieties become your fears? Have you let them overcome you? Look at Psalm 61, 1 through 8. Psalm 61, 1 through 8. 1 through 8. It says, "Hear my cry, O God, and give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever, and let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you have heard my vows, O God, and you have given me the inheritance of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, and his years will be many. He will abide before God forever. Appoint loving kindness and truth that they may preserve him." So it says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He wants a higher view of God. And you see that develop in this psalm there. Did you notice also the rock, the one and the only? And let me dwell in your tent forever in verse 4. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings. I don't know if many of you have ever seen birds where the shelter of your wings, but the loons, their little babies nest up on top of their back under the cover of their wings, and their little head will poke out. And you can see them there in pictures if you ever do a study on loons. And that's an amazing picture, the shelter of the wings there. Notice he knows his inheritance. And verse 8, he sings praise to his name forever. So as you talk with people from our church or friends or relatives in these days, notice their fears and pray for them. Encourage them. We have much opportunity to make much of how mighty our God is, and to remind them that they are not alone. Like a special song the choir sings, and sometimes I sing to myself, we are not alone, God is with us. We are not alone, God is with us, and we are never alone, for God is with us. We need that repetition in our lives to calm our fears and to hush our souls. Let's look at Psalm 27, 1 through 4. Psalm 27, 1 through 4. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies stumbled and fell. And though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord, and that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and meditate in his temple. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can meditate on your word and delight in your word. Help us to be quick to confess our sins daily and have a close fellowship with you. And help us to develop a higher view of you each day of our lives. We thank you for this time in your word. Amen.